Welcome back. It's 2016 and Brick House is still going. The lights are still on. The heat is turned off, but it's enough Christmas cheer in here to heat the whole room, would you say, Matt?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at that tree right now, and that is a beautiful Christmas tree, Bob.
I had a good holiday. How about you?
Great times. Great times with the family and friends and that stuff that you do during the holidays. It was great.
I guess we should say I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker, starting the new year off right.
Yeah, we got a couple of new Twitter followers.
Oh, man, a couple.
For Christmas.
Literally a couple.
At Brickhouse Pod is the place to go to follow us on Twitter. You don't have to just do it for Christmas. You can do it for New Year's, too.
Oh, wow. You could do it any time of year, Bob.
Yeah, well, I had a pretty good holiday. My wife's family was in town. We had a good time, and I figured no matter what happened to you, you probably had a better holiday week than Clee Anthony Early.
You don't say. I do not know what you're about to say. This is fun. This is a good way to start off the year.
Clee Anthony Early got held up and shot in the knee outside of a club in Queens a couple of days ago.
Okay.
He's saying that he could have been worse. I'm not sure really the extent of
the
injury.
Well, he could be dead.
He could have been dead.
Yeah.
I suppose that's true. Typical NBA assault stories go is in New York about 2:30 in the morning. I think he was with his girlfriend, and multiple guys like surrounded a car and robbed him and just for good measure shot him in the knee. It's no laughing matter, really. Hopefully he'll get better.
Yeah. But, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It's
like
tough.
Like you said, it's not a laughing matter, so I'm not going to laugh at him, but and I know that far more people go to clubs and come out unshot than go to clubs and end up shot.
Mo Williams tweeted that he was done with the clubs.
Yeah, but I've known you I've known you a while now, like 8 years or so.
Yeah, okay.
Give or take. And I've come to your place of residence many times, never been shot.
That's true. That's true.
Like
We don't have as many willing women over here or competitive
or
gangs.
Gun-toting. Yeah. But the point is, I enjoy
$1,000 bottles of liquor.
I enjoy myself when I come to your house or go to a movie or something with you. Same amount of fun, I would say. Less amount of opportunity to be shot.
So you hear that, NBA players, whenever you're in L.A., don't go out to the clubs. Come over to Bob Johnson's house.
Come over to Bob Johnson's house.
We'll look at the Christmas tree. Maybe have some sparkling waters together and not get shot.
Yeah, not get shot. That's that's the most important. The most important part of this is not to get shot.
I got Jalen Rose's book for Christmas.
I picked that up. I didn't know that he wrote the book. How is it?
It was pretty good. I probably read it in 3 hours, a pretty quick read.
Wow.
But pretty fun nonetheless. In fact, one of the most exciting stories from the book is a time where he got shot at. He was partying with Lisa Leslie after they won the WNBA championship.
Yeah, she's a rowdy one.
Yeah, and he was with one of his friends from growing up, and he was trying to get with Lisa Leslie. And Leslie was trying to get to the 405. And Jalen Rose is like, hey, I'll show you where the 405 is. Follow me. So they leave the club in Los Angeles. And he notices at this stoplight that there's another car falling behind the two of them. And their dome light comes on, which he realizes means that someone's getting out of the car, opening the door. And someone's got up in Jalen Rose's face and stuck a gun at him. And then he said in the book that when he opened his mouth to talk, Jalen Rose felt like he was letting his guard down, so he hit the gas. Doesn't mention how he left Lisa Leslie, behind in this situation.
Wait, she wasn't in the car?
No, she was in the car following behind them. And, this guy opened fire, shot the car 9 times. One bullet even hit the driver's headrest.
Oof.
And Jalen had his head down. And his friend was shot in the neck.
Oh. Survived?
Survived, yeah. The funniest part of the story was Rose called 911, and he said, this is an emergency. I need my way, tell me how to get to the hospital. My dog's been shot. And she's on the phone giving him directions, and he pulled up at an animal hospital because she thought he meant his
his
pet dog was shot. But it was D-O-double-G dog.
Or D-A-W-G.
Yeah, pretty pretty good read. I'll let you borrow it. It's a good one.
That's pretty great.
Got to Give the People What They Want is the title.
Yeah, you got
there
it.
There you go. Jalen Rose. I was in such a good mood from reading Jalen Rose's book until I found out that Joey Crawford is retiring.
Yeah.
After 39 years at the end of this year.
He wanted to make sure it was known so he could go city to city and get all those presents that everyone is going to give him.
A piece of the parquet floor, retired jerseys, yeah, and so on. I was thinking it would be fun if Vegas would take bets on whether or not, like, for his last game, if he just throws out the entire starting five of each team. I think he really should do that. I mean, he's already one of the most famous referees of all time, certainly of the ones who are still reffing today.
Right.
But what a better way to cement your legacy than to just throw out the entire, throw out the coaches, just, maybe throw out a few fans.
Just have it, have
yeah,
at it.
Throw out the mascot.
I wonder what his last game will be. That would be interesting to...
Yeah, I went to a game of his a couple seasons ago, Clippers-Mavs game.
Yeah.
And I was really...
He just giving the old heave-ho?
He had to leave after the second quarter. They actually finished the game with only two referees.
Whoa.
And I was worried about him then. He has made a career on throwing star players out of games. You know, people show up, pay their good money to see Joey Crawford, obviously.
Yeah, one time he was so shocked that Tim Duncan showed emotion on the bench that he gave Tim Duncan a technical on the bench.
I think he threw him out of the game. That was the second technical.
He's one of six officials to officiate over 2,000 NBA games.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Dick Bavetta is probably the only other one I can...
How old would you say Dick Bavetta is?
Dick Bavetta? He's probably 76 now, 77?
76, you got it exactly.
Wow.
How'd you do that? He seemed a little older in my eyes, but...
Him and Jerry Colangelo. Over the break, Kyrie Irving tweeted it. His two-word tweet, of course, was, "I'm back." Just saw yesterday that there was another player who tweeted the same thing. One of our favorites from the early days of the Brickhouse podcast previews, Yusuf Nurkic.
Oh man,
is back. If you don't remember,
the giant with the giant father,
the son of the Bosnian riot police officer,
mm-hmm,
to be precise, who once beat, was it eight men in a fight? It was a lot of dudes. What's the deal with Matt Barnes? Took to Instagram on New Year's Eve. Did you hear about this one, Matt?
I sure did.
Well, Matt Barnes is definitely going to be brought into the Brick House Hall of Fame. He tweeted that he had the worst year of his life, Matt.
Whoa.
I mean, we all know that he just started serving a 2-game suspension for the incident with Derek Fisher and his ex-wife over the summer.
Yeah.
They got into an altercation.
Right.
And Barnes ended up getting suspended 2 games for that. He called out Rihanna. Let's see. "Lied on by a pop star who's lucky I stuck to the script and didn't expose her lying ass." I don't know if you know this, but last year on like Celebrity Crush Thursday or whatever stupid made up fucking social media holiday.
Yeah.
He said that he had a crush on Rihanna.
Yeah.
And you know, a reporter asked him about it. He's like, "Yeah, we're kind of actually beyond the crush stage." And then Rihanna went all over Twitter and said, like, "What a liar. I've never met you. You know, you're trying to get famous off of me,"
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Matt Barnes apparently took the high road after that, or it was, you know, too ashamed to really keep going after that, but called her out. Last but not least, of course, he's pretty much probably the inspiration for this, I would have to guess, is Derek Fisher. being stuck in the, quote, triangle offense with my ex and snitch. I mean, former teammate and friend who went behind my back, messed with my ex, got caught, got dealt with for being a snake, then ran and told the police and NBA instead of taking that ass whooping like a man and kept it moving. Where do they do that? Because I didn't snitch. I get a 2-game suspension by the league. They call that life. Ooh. Capital. Capital. Ooh. Life. And he signs it, Happy New Year, love, hashtag the bad guy.
So he's just embracing it then.
He's got FTH tattooed across his chest, Matt. That's Matt Barnes for you. It's like 3 paragraphs long. I only touched on parts of it, but yeah. Worth the read, and look forward to seeing Matt get back on the court. And maybe the next time he plays the Knicks especially, that'll be interesting.
Whenever that may be.
Eating crow. Right before we left, I predicted the 76ers weren't going to win a game before the end of the year.
Oof.
Not only did they win one, they won 2.
Yeah, they did.
And unfortunately, one of those wins was against your beloved Phoenix Suns.
That makes sense, though, well, because the Suns are terrible. But also, that was the return of Colangelo, D'Antoni, Ish Smith, Kendall Marshall.
Was Ish Smith the Sun once?
Yeah, he was last year or the year before. He was one of their backup point guards, and I think they wanted to resign him, but he was going to get a little too much, or he wanted a little too much money. More money. Yeah, it was 2 seasons ago. And
they're like, yeah, we have 7 point guards, but we really want to sign
you. Yeah, we want. Where'd you go to college? Kentucky? Oh, Wake Forest. So, no, we don't want you.
You have a brother.
Yeah. So that was the return of. And Kendall Marshall, I mean, he had a rocky Phoenix career. So that was the return of all those guys to Phoenix. Yeah, they did it, Bob.
Well, that was kind of one question I was going to ask you. Does having previously owned the Suns like Colangelo, or coached the Suns like D'Antoni, or played for the Suns like those million point guards, does that give them any advantage when facing the team years later? I know the jerseys are the same.
Yeah. No, I probably just motivation, I guess.
That's what I figured, motivation.
Ish Smith and Kendall Marshall would know about this team a little bit better than D'Antoni would, and I'm sure Colangelo's been around enough that he would keep an eye on the Suns.
Sure.
I think their only advantage was that the Suns are pretty awful right now. So,
and Bledsoe got hurt during the Sixers game, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Suns are in the midst of an 8-game losing streak, which included Saturday losing to the Kings 142-119.
Whoa, I saw that score.
That is insanely brutal.
Coincidentally, one of the coaches that the Suns fired just the other day after the Sixers loss was their defensive coordinator.
Say what?
Fire their defensive coordinator, have the Kings put up 142 points on you a couple days later.
Yeah, that's so bad. Okay, so mixed in, the Suns lose to Philly. 2 days later, they almost beat the Cavs.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Then they get pounded by the Spurs, and then they almost beat Oklahoma City in Oklahoma City.
Wow.
And then they get pounded by the Kings. So it's a very weird team.
Maybe these good teams are drinking the night before playing the Suns.
Yeah, they figure now's my time to really let loose. I'm okay with it, though. The Suns struggles. Bledsoe is out, which is a bummer, but Devin Booker is getting minutes, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get minutes for Booker.
Yeah, he's playing well.
And, I mean, they're the 5th worst team right now.
So you're feeling good because you won a lottery pick.
Just Ben Simmons, basically.
Yeah.
This team was never going to be a playoff threat, obviously, and it was never even going to be a threat, really, to make the playoffs. Maybe if everything fell into place, but... So if they just need to be bad. Just be bad this year. Take a run at Ben Simmons. If you don't get him, then whatever. You just get, I don't know,
whoever's available on Kentucky.
Yeah, whoever. Who did we?
I don't know if there's any twins available in the lottery.
Isaiah Briscoe. Who's the other one? Jamal Murray.
Or Hightop. Haiti Hightop.
Oh, man, he needs to stay.
Yeah.
That dude is not.
Not ready?
No. But the Suns just need to be bad. They need to commit. They need to commit to being bad. They need to ship off Markieff Morris for whatever they can get. Just commit to it. Be bad. Take a run at Simmons.
Well, losing to the Sixers is a good way to start
That is a great way.
Matt, I wanted to cheer you up, so I dug up some good news for the Suns' future.
Okay, good.
Okay. The Suns' season in 2035 is pretty much saved. Let me explain to you.
All right.
Chris Bosh and his wife just announced that she is pregnant and will give birth to twin boys this year. So I figure 19 years from now,
the Suns are going to get a couple of Boshes?
They're going to get at least one of them.
Oh, man.
This news first came out. It was released on Instagram photo through Bosch's family. But the photo that's actually gotten even more likes is the Suns head of scouting holding up the sonogram with a measuring tape.
Is that really a thing?
not yet. Not okay. Yet. One can hope, though.
Everyone in on the joke?
Rest assured, buddy. You'll be fine.
It might be a tough 19 years. It's okay.
Worth the wait.
If someone came and told you you could commit to the Rockets, or let's say the Clippers, because you've seen the Rockets win a couple of championships in your lifetime.
Sure.
So let's say the Clippers, if they said, we'll guarantee you a championship in 2035, you can either A, have a guaranteed title in 2035 and nothing until then, or B, take your chances and maybe never see a title, what would you pick?
If I was the Clippers, I would take the championship.
Yeah.
I mean, Clippers are a pretty cursed franchise.
Right. Though. But you know what I mean? Would you rather have one you know is guaranteed, or would you just want to enjoy the ride the entire time?
Yeah, that would be fun. I would take it. Well, another gift I found on the NBA was on NBA Reddit. Man, one of the best threads I've seen on there in a while. And it was posted with the headline, what are your best, quote, dumb shit NBA players done stories? There was a lot of ones on there that you would expect. For example, the time Damon Stoudemire wrapped weed in tinfoil and took it through the metal detectors at the airport. Or when Quintel Woods got pulled over and tried to use his basketball card as his identification.
I forgot about that. That is great.
There was quite a few Michael Beasley stories on there, but one that actually came with a photo was a picture he took to show off his new back tattoo. But what he didn't realize after he, you know, or before he posted this picture to social media was it was a picture of his back tattoo, but it also had a picture of an open bag of marijuana on the table.
Nice. The background.
They had a couple of injuries where players got injured doing stupid shit and then lied about it. Like when Monte Ellis got suspended 30 games for injuring himself on a moped and lying about it. And Vlad Radmanovic did the same thing, dislocating his shoulder snowboarding. He attempted snowboarding for the first time ever when he was on the Lakers and had just signed a $30 million
That's
contract.
Right.
What he a time he slipped on the ice.
What a time
just walking.
What a time to just try that. Yeah, just give it a go.
Yeah, the link to that article just talked about how he got fined $500,000 or, you know, suspended a tenth of the season or whatever it was by the Lakers. But they could have voided his entire $30 million contract, and he was just grateful that they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Conversely, with the story about Monte Ellis was all about how Don Nelson was really lobbying that they not suspend him at all because, you know, he was their star player. He was like their only good player left at the time.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to alienate him. But the owners suspended him 30 games as opposed to more that they wanted to. Another player that got injured, self-inflicted, Amari Stoudemire punching the glass case of the fire extinguisher after the Knicks playoff loss. But there was a couple of stories that I had not heard before, and I thought they were pretty great. One of them is just a rumor, the rumor that one of Greg Oden's many knee injuries may have been caused by him playing Dance Dance Revolution. J.R. Smith, of course, had some information in there, though, that was pretty great. When we last spoke, we talked about how his time in China he described as the worst place he's ever been in his life.
Yeah, the worst place.
Well, when he was in China, he got a historic $3 million contract during the NBA lockout. And,
couldn't have been the worst place then.
There was an article written by Wojnarowski who was talking about his time there, and he did a bunch of... He called him in the article the clown prince of basketball. And it just talked about unreasonable demands he made, such as the kind of car that was needed to carry him around the city, how he would skip practices for shopping excursions, and so on. But one of the funniest things he did was he was staying in a hotel on the team's dime, and he ordered $3,000 worth of room service, just kept ordering food and kept ordering food, to quote from JR saying, just to see if they would keep bringing it to the room.
Yeah.
Just stacking it up.
Jeez. Jeez.
Wojnarowski really, really gets on him, unlike anything I've ever seen from him, especially. I did find a peculiar diss for our diss of the week section.
Yo mama is so fat.
It's from head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, Rick Carlisle. His team lost pretty badly to Miami recently, and he was quoted as saying, "We couldn't hit a bull in the ass with a bass fiddle."
Okay.
What? So where the hell hitting a bull in the ass with a bass fiddle is common practice? I'm not really sure. But I...
You know what? I couldn't either, probably because I wouldn't attempt to or even think about that.
I looked it up, tried to dig into where this saying comes from, where in the country people are hitting bulls in the asses with fiddles.
Yeah.
So I found on idioms.com that this is actually the third most popular fiddle-based expression. the most popular being second fiddle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, playing a less important role in an orchestra or... You know, a basketball court, business, whatever.
Right.
Fit as a fiddle.
Fit as a fiddle, yes.
Fit as a fiddle, a common one, although makes about as much sense as hitting a bull in the ass with a fiddle. I don't
fit
know.
As a fiddle?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
Exactly. What else do we have? They have fiddle something away, fiddle around, fiddle while Rome burns, which I think is a euphemism for masturbating.
Yeah, I think fiddle something away, fiddle around, and fiddle while Rome burns, they're all kind of the same.
These fiddle sayings are not the millennials' doings.
Hey, Bob, there's many a good tune played on an old fiddle.
Ooh, that's the next one. That's what the old people would have you believe. That's what this means. Is
old
that
people can be very capable.
They're very capable.
Just because Nigel is old doesn't mean he's useless. There's many a good tune played on an old fiddle. That sounds like something Norm MacDonald would say in his stand-up routine.
I thought you were going to say it as KFC commercials.
Yeah, that too. Just any. It's something Norm MacDonald would say in general.
The last one listed on here was fiddle fart.
Yeah.
Whose definition was sea monkey fart. Which monkey fart's definition, to waste time, to do something ineffectually or inefficiently. A blend of monkey around and fart around.
Yeah, okay.
Or fiddle farting, apparently.
It's just some sort of strategic fart-based circular... Yeah.
So
that concludes our fiddle segment.
It is definitely time to panic!
Bob, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I set that up real well. Is it time to panic with the Golden State Warriors?
The Golden State Warriors...
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You know, they're only 2-1 over their last three games, Bob.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, but so they got beat pretty bad by the Mavericks.
Yes. Yes.
But also
couldn't shoot a bull of the ass with a fiddle on a fiddle fart night.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. but they didn't have Curry for that game.
Right.
And then they also, I believe they didn't have Curry for the game against the Rockets, even though they won.
Right.
And then against the Nuggets, Curry came back and had to leave the game again.
Right. And Draymond destroyed the earth.
Draymond Green is awesome. Yeah. He's like a top player in the league.
He's pretty amazing.
He averages 15 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists a game.
Yeah.
But I don't panic. I don't ask to panic because of the record. It's been a few years, but if the Warriors have to go with Curry for an extended period, without Curry for an extended period of time, is it time to panic? Would that mean that you can throw 72 wins out the window?
Well, that's the question, is whether or not how important that 72 wins is. And
yeah.
I think seeing Curry not play in the Rockets game and quickly coming out of the Nuggets game is going to be evidence that the championship is more important. Curry's health is more important than breaking the Bulls record.
Yeah.
Even if Steve Kerr was on that team. And so I don't think it's time to panic. Steve Kerr is coming back too. Not that they've done poorly with Luke Walton by
right.
any stretch, but you know, I think on the contrary, when your star player goes out, it gives the team an opportunity to gel more and see what it's made of. I
right.
know the Clippers every year seem to lose either Blake Griffin or Chris Paul for a stretch.
Right.
And it gives the other guy more of an opportunity to grow as a player. It certainly seems that way with Draymond.
He should get MVP votes. He should be top.
Yeah. I saw that his assist this year, assist average has almost doubled. It went from like 3.7 last year to 6.9.
That's
so
insane.
Far this year. But no, I don't think it's time to panic. I would like to see them go for that record, and I think we will still continue to talk about them going for that record until they lose their 11th game. And the Spurs, despite not having much fanfare as usual, are pretty close behind the Golden State Warriors.
They're only 3 games back.
They're 3 games back, and in fact, despite the Warriors' legendary start to the season, the Spurs have like a better point differential by a couple of points.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is really hard to believe.
The Spurs are 13.6 positive and the Warriors are 11.8.
Yeah.
And the Lakers are -9.9 and the Sixers are -12.3. So yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on that, cuz obviously it sounds ridiculous to think the Warriors could panic at any point, but when you're talking about injuries and you're talking about Steph Curry especially.
Well, I mean, if you ask me if I thought the Warriors could win the championship or make it even to the finals without Steph Curry, I would say no.
Right.
Right now, missing a few games in January, they'll bounce back from that.
Yeah, I think so too.
On the next episode of Brick House.
I wanted to ask people to send in their submissions because we're going to do the first ever Brick House Academy Awards, Matt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a formal event. It's coming up. Send in your nominations. Some of the categories we're going to be talking about: best performance in a drama this year. Also, best performance in a musical or comedy. I wrote Cough Boogie.
Yeah.
The best ensemble cast. Plus, we'll also find out who's the NBA's Hateful Eight and what story the guys from the writers of Spotlight Division should focus on in the NBA. I'm not sure what the subject is that they're going to be covering, but I got a prediction that the conspiracy goes straight to the top, Matt.
Oh, it always does. It always does.
So look forward to that episode of Brick House. Follow us at Brick House Pod and send in your submissions for the game for the awards show, bob@brickhousepodcast.com or at Brick House Pod on Twitter. And Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Matt Baker.
Happy New Year to you, Bob.
We'll be right back.